it got me thinking, because we talk about the idea of evangelize. And we step into this new year, and I want to take a step back and, you know, I love to go through books and jumping in, and we're going to probably jump into, I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians, and get into a study. But sometimes we get so bogged down, if you will, in the details, you know, that we lose the whole scope, the whole big picture. And so what I want to do is really take the next couple of weeks and really kind of look at what's the big picture of the Bible. You know, the Bible is made up of 66 individual books. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, New Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way through the Old Testament. But 66 books written by 40 different authors over a course of roughly 1,500 years. And yet, it's all one story. It wasn't compiled until much later. The Old Testament was compiled as it was written up. But the New Testament wasn't until, boys, you go into the first century, some of these books were written, and it was roughly around 66. These things started to be compiled together. So they were all individual books that were kind of passed around and then compiled together. And yet when they go through and you look at it, it's just one story. And oftentimes we get so bickering over some of these individual things that we lose the whole scope of the gospel. And truly, it's a love story. You know, you can follow through and you talk about, you know, is this a good story or not? And it all depends on really how the story ends. Right? I remember as a child watching Snow White. And watching the animation and all that, and halfway through, you have Maleficent. She turns into a dragon. How many remember this, right? She turns into a dragon and fights the prince. And the thorns all come up, and she turns into this, she's breathing fire. And I was like, ah! I was scared. Ah! You turn around and you look at all the events of it. And you were to take a segment of the story and be so up and down, and yet in the whole thing we know who wins at the end. And I look at what's going on in our nation, and we look at what's going on in our world, and we've lost the big picture. And by taking a step back and, okay, what's going on? Because if you just pull off a glimmer of the news and what's going on, it's depressing. You would think that evil is winning. You'd wonder what's going to happen next. But the scriptures tell a wonderful story. You know, there's events in it that are scary. There are events in it that are cliffhangers. There are tragedies. And yet, through it all, the gospel story is one of good news. And simply, we talk about the gospel. Gospel just means good news. Good news. Are you ready for some good news? And the story of the scriptures is a story of good news. It's a wonderful story. But you got to follow the whole track of it to get a glimmer of what's truly going on. And we're not finished with the story yet. You know, we're kind of stuck in between. Now, some of you are readers. I don't know. Does anyone here likes to peek at the end of the book? Anyone does that? I'm just curious. Oh, yeah, a few of you guys that you have no problem reading a story and then peeking at the end. There's something wrong with that. You know? I'm one of these guys that, you know, I'm watching a movie or reading a book. I don't want to know how it ends. Let me get there. And then there's always some smart aleck that says, oh, this is what happened. You know, they all died. Oh, no! You know? The tragedy of it all. I don't want to know how it ends. The Bible's one exception. Because the book of Revelation is the only book that says there's a blessing for reading it. Because as we read through the events, I know how it ends. And Christ wins. It talks about a place prepared for us. I can't find it, but I don't think it gets below freezing in heaven. I can't find that, but... But the story, the gospel story, and in here, it's a, like I said, it's a wonderful story. And really, it can be broken up in these four segments. And we're going to take each one of these each week and break it down. I'm going to see how that goes, because I hate leaving with a cliffhanger, but... It talks about the idea of creation. And then it talks about the fall. And then it talks about redemption, then restoration. The elements of this love story, if you will, of God towards us. And it all starts with creation. We look at how this world came to be. And there's so many questions that people have that, look, if we just read just the first book of the Bible, it would help us understand what's going on in the world around us. You know, we have Dan Ager technology and his other advances, but the human story really hasn't changed. The story applies to us. The story of creation really starts off really simple. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did all this get here? Is there a purpose and meaning to it? Yes, there is. That there is a creator who set all things into motion. And I believe the scripture, when it talks about God, is the creator of all things. And I think even that fact itself, there are so many people who are just struggling for meaning. Why am I here? What hope is there? I think the most powerful things that we can tell our children is, look, you are created by God. The Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That God has a plan for your life. That we have a God who wants to know you and wants you to know Him. But it all started in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And that means all things belong to Him. Colossians tells us, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. If you look at this idea that God is the creator of it all, that means He took care. He knows. The Bible says He knows when a sparrow falls. He knows how many hairs are on my head, which is an amazing thing because it changes every day. God knows. And God cares. You know, for a long period of time, I was probably closest to what you call a deist. And what a deist means, you believe there's a creator, but that God kind of made the clock, if you will, and wound it up and let it just go. And creation just kind of goes on by itself. That God's sort of an impersonal God. That God's sort of separate from His creation. And things are just playing out as He kind of laid it out. But I've changed my view. Scripture says, look, not only are things created through Him, but for Him. And then all things by Him consist. That God is forever active in His creation. That God isn't a God who just made something and walked away bored. I knew a family that were desperately wanted a pet. They didn't want to invest in a dog, and all that, so they decided they wanted just a gerbil. They said, we'll buy some gerbils. And we'll see how that goes. And at first the kids were all excited over the gerbils. They played with the gerbils. They fed the gerbils. They changed the bedding in it. They loved the gerbils. But over a course of time, they lost interest in the gerbils. One of them died because, oh, the kids forgot to feed them for how long. And finally the father said, oh, this ain't working well. And actually set one of them, said there's one left. And they're like, the kids aren't going to take care of it. So he set it free. Released it into the wild. I'd like to think that today he's still, you know, he's turned into a savage little gerbil. And he survived out there on his own. But I don't know if that really works that way. I think sometimes people think that God is that way. That God, if you are there, that you've kind of lost interest in this, that you don't care. I know in my own life, there's been times when I've cried out in prayer, God, do you hear me? Do you even care? The answer is yes. That God is still on the throne. He still loves His creation. That in here, He existed all before it. And then all things are consistent by Him. That if God took His hands off this world, the whole thing would just fall apart. He's still active in His creation. That in here, the Bible says so much so that we can actually stop and look at creation and see the handiwork of God. Now, I'm a science buff. Like I said, growing up, my goal wasn't to be a pastor or a preacher. That wasn't my goal. I wanted to be a science teacher. And so biology and all that was just my strong point. I just really loved following those things. And you look at it, and it is amazing when you look at the creation around us. It truly is. Just lately, because we homeschool, and so we pull a lot of science videos. And I think we would do that anyways, because we're a nerdy family. And so we just like watching documentaries and animal shows anyways. And in here, we're watching, and we're going through a series now. It's like, what's the name of it? It's weird something. Anyway, it goes and it looks at nature and it looks at all these oddities. It's really interesting. The last show we watched was there's a fish that this little parasite comes in and the parasite will eat the fish's tongue and it latches into the fish's mouth and it acts like the fish's tongue but it's fed off it, and so they have this symbiotic relationship. And they said really people freak out when they go by a fish, you open the mouth and there's this little bug. We're talking about that. We're talking about the anglerfish. You ever seen a little anglerfish down in the ocean and it's got the little dangly thing and it's got the big teeth like that? And they said for a long period of time they only were finding females. They couldn't find any males. But they would find this little parasite onto the anglerfish, and they found out that actually this little tiny fish that's a parasite is actually the male. That when they're little, the male will bite onto the female and the female's body grows around it. So all it is the little rear end. I'm finding out in nature, it doesn't really pay to be a male. You're kind of disposable. And so all these things they talk about, and scientists are looking and they try to explain it with evolution, how these things, but all these things would have to work in perfect harmony and all at the same time and all that. I tell you, I believe it takes more faith to believe that all this just happened than to believe a God that created it all. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the fact that a giraffe has that long neck and as it turns its head down, because of the neck so long, all the blood would rush to the giraffe's brain, but it would die because all that blood would rush out. So it has a valve that shuts off the blood flow when the head goes down. Well, if you shut off the blood flow, the giraffe would pass out. So there's a little spongy tissue that absorbs enough blood that the brain can feed off the blood in the tissue while it's bent over, and when it's hit, everything goes back through. The giraffe, and it's funny because they're like, well, the giraffe developed this. The giraffe didn't develop it. It didn't say, hey, what do I need? And right? I believe God created it. We look at creation. We look at all the wonder. We look at all there. And to say it just happened by chance, I think it takes more faith. You know, I can take a whole bunch of metal and put it into a box and shake it, and a truck is not going to drive up. And the Scripture is clear that since the creation of the world, Romans tells us, this invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about even unbelievers, if they're really honest and look at creation, points to a God. You know, if the earth was just a little bit closer, a little bit further, it'd be inhabitable. All these things that take place point to a Creator who's creative and wonderful and loving. That God has provided all that we need. And if we were to just open our eyes and look around Him, we'll see His handiwork. And God does good work. You know? The psalmist puts it this way: His heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. To turn around and look at the universe and the planets and all those things. To take a microscope and go deeper and deeper, and things get more complex and more complex. God is through it all and in it all. Genesis continues to unfold that God spoke all things into existence. Then on the sixth day, He created man. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. That in this perfect garden, in this perfect world, God made the perfect couple. And in here, He created man in His own image. And what does that mean? Because God doesn't have hands, God doesn't have feet, He doesn't have a form, God's a spirit. I pulled this up, because I'd used this before, and I pulled this off, because I want you to understand, we talk about, what does it mean that we were created in the image of God? Because if we're not talking about God has brown hair, or black hair, or all those attributes, that's not what we're talking about. But God created man unique. The Bible tells us that when He created Adam, that He brought him into the garden, and He brought all the animals across in front of him. He said, I want you to name all the animals. And He brought, you know, the gerbils and the birds and the ostriches and whatever, naked mole rats, I mean, whatever animal you want to think of, brought these animals across. And Adam named all the animals. And there's a verse in there that says, after all the animals were brought in, He said there was no one comparable to Adam. That Adam didn't have a companion. And then God created Eve. You know, man, we might say that, you know, dogs are our man's best friend. You know, and some of you might be in that cats and... I'm really working hard to get my wife. I want a pet tarantula. I have a guy in Arizona who says he'll send me one. And... my wife won't let me. So if you talk to her and you convince her, he says, the one he wants to send me is about the size of my hand. I said, wouldn't that be cool? Get a little leash, take him for a little walk. But, right? All these things, you know, we talk about all these pets and animals and how great companions they are. And our society wants to turn around and take our animals and say they're the same as people. That's just not true. As wonderful as the animals are and pets are, man is uniquely made. The Bible says that we are created and made of three parts. God is triune. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God created us in that image. We are triune as well. We have the flesh. That's what this is. You know, I can't wait till summer because I like to be outside in the summer. I don't. When come winter, I just stay inside and eat. And it shows. I catch up with me every winter. There's more of me now than there was a few months ago. Right? This is the flesh. It has appetites, desires. I touch, I feel, I see. It's through this flesh that I experience the world around me. Right? Animals have that. Alright? So they're similar to that. The second thing that we have a soul. The Bible tells us the soul is our seat of our emotion. It's who I am. You know, I'm not the flesh. This isn't me. I'm on the inside of this. You know, years ago, psychologists called it, you know, the ghost in the machine. What runs this? Right? Is it just random synapses and electronic beeps that go on that makes this? That's not who I am. I am an individual. You are an individual. Who are you outside of this? And in this, we have our emotions. Love, anger, joy. We have those aspects as well. We have a soul. If you want to say it's the person that's inside this thing. Now, if you have an animal, a pet, do animals have souls? Yeah. Dogs and cats and, I don't know if tarantulas. I'm still working on that. Have emotions. Right? I turn around and walk in. I can tell if my dog is happy or sad. We're on vacation. We left our dog with Cindy's mom. We walked in and we have a little shih tzu. And the poor guy doesn't have a nose. But he walked in and he's smiling. He was happy to see us. And he was smiling. It's weird. A little sides of his mouth were perked up. Right? He was all excited. The tail was going on. He was all, right? He was happy to see us. And then we got him home and then he kind of moped around for a couple days because I think he liked grandma better. I think she spoiled him more than we did. Right? We've turned around and you know, watch our dog, you know, because we have a little dog. Because back when my wife and my daughter wanted a really frilly, girly dog. And I'm like, look, I'm the only guy in the house. We need another guy. So we got, I mean, named him Thor. He's this big, but he's got a mighty name. And they want to dress him up in sweaters. And he's a tough dog. I'm not winning that fight. But he'll sit there and dream and you see him and he'll be chasing stuff in his sleep, right? There's something going on. He's more than just a flash. But what makes us unique is God created us with a spirit. The animals don't have this. This is a part of us that connects us with God. That God created us to have communion with Him. That here in the garden, He created Adam and Eve. The Bible says He came down and had fellowship with man. That we were created in His image. That we can have a relationship with us. God wants you to know Him and God wants you to love Him. That God created us with something that's called a free will. You know, He could create us all little robots and make us love Him, but He didn't. And the reason why He gave us that free will is because He wants us to love Him. Right? I mean, I can take my daughter and I can pin her down and I can twist her arm and I can say you love me. I can make her say that. She's young enough that I can make her do pretty much what I want her to do. But it doesn't change her heart. But as a dad, when she jumps on my lap, she gives me a big hug and she bats those eyes and she's like, Dad, I love you. You know what that does to me? What do you want? Right? It just melts my heart. You want that pony? Okay, I'll talk to Mom. Oh, no, that's soft. How about pet tarantula? She doesn't want that either. Right? But when love is freely given, it is a wonderful thing. And God created us to love Him back. One of the attributes of God is love. And in here, when God created man, He created us with the ability to love Him back. To have communion with Him. To have a relationship with us. Think about this. The God of the universe wants to know you. He created you, especially. He knows all about you. And He wants you to freely love Him back. That in this garden, Genesis tells us, then God saw everything He had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created everything good. That in here, Adam and Eve had all that they needed. They were placed in the garden. The Bible says that, look, they were to work. God didn't design us just to lay around. God designed us to function and to do with gifts and abilities. Genesis chapter 1 is an interesting phrase, because in here He talks about that we should have dominion over the world, that God created us, and He sort of let us loose into this world. And I believe as He did that, that God allowed us with that creativity He made us with a desire to explore and for adventure, to go forth into this world, and kind of like kids in a candy store, to let us loose and to go out and explore. We look at all the things that we have done with His creation. You know? You look at the medicines that's there. You turn around and look at the advances in technology that we have of taking this chemical and mixing it with that. And, you know, all the creative things that we have, because God's creative. I think He made us creative as well. I mean, who would have thunk you can take sand, heat it up, and turn it into a microchip that allows us to have a projector up on a screen? Wow! Right? And I think God's up there, up in heaven, and He laid all these things all out, and He's kind of like, alright, how long is it going to take them to figure out, put this together with this? Let's see how long it takes them to figure that out. I think God created this world as one giant Lego box, if you will, for us to explore. And as we explore more, we see more of God unfolding Himself in creation. It's an amazing thing that God placed Adam and Eve into this garden, the perfect couple in the perfect world, had all their needs taken care of, provided for. Almost sounds too good to be true. Because we look at the world today and things don't quite seem so perfect. We talk the idea of creation, that God created all things, and in here, God created man as sort of the crowning, if you will. They didn't have their relationship with Him, but things didn't stay that way. You need to realize that when God created this world, sickness and death weren't part of it. When God created this world, cancer had no part of it. No death. No hurt, no pain. But we look at the world around us, we see this everywhere we are. What happened? Genesis chapter 3 unfolds the tale. Talks about the fall. It says, then when the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, He was walking in the garden, in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from the Lord from among the trees of the garden. Something happened that now drew a wedge. As God draws out to fellowship with man, man pulled back. What happened? It was the fall. the pain and suffering we see in this world today wasn't God's design. It was because of the fall. So the first part of the story is that God created everything well. God's design, His plan, was perfection. And in this was to have a relationship with us. Well, next week we're going to look at the fall. What happened? What broke that fellowship? What drove us away? It's chapter 2 of the gospel story. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the love that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for this world that You created, Lord. We thank You that that reminder, Lord, that You want to know us and You want us to know You. But Lord, something happened. Lord, in this, open our eyes. Draw us close to You again. Lord, we ask this in Your name.